For 20 years, I worked as a medical technologist. That was my first career in life before taking on this one. I worked in a medical laboratory and did that in a variety of locations. As a profession, it calls for efficiency and multitasking, neither of which am I good at. And I can remember, well, I remember lots of things, but one Sunday afternoon in particular, I was on call and had been asked to come in and do some stat lab tests. That means that they have to be done right away to get the answer back to the doctor. These were all long and involved tests. None of them were the short, quickie kinds of things that you do and just hand off the answer quickly. They were long and involved, and there was more than one of them that I was doing. And I remember at one point that I had several things that I needed to do next right now. And I couldn't remember which one it was. And I was kind of like, I gotta do something, but what? And found myself kind of spinning and wondering what it was that I was supposed to pick up and do next, knowing that something had to happen right away. And it just started kind of spinning and was overwhelmed. I soon calmed down and figured it out and got on and completed the tests and went on. But that sense of knowing that I have a lot to do and it all needs to kind of be done right now, and that sense of being overwhelmed was real. And you know, I think the same thing often happens with us in life. We become overwhelmed with everything that we need to do in life. There's a long list of things that we need to accomplish, we want to accomplish, this sense of trying to get it all done and get it done in a timely manner. And we easily become overwhelmed with everything that we're to do. Partly it's just because we live very busy lives. We have the way we live today, our lives are incredibly busy. And it's also partly the pressure to perform and to do more in order to get ahead in life, in order to be successful, in order to do that which we've set out on our path to accomplish. Our work ethic often says that we have to work more than 40 hours a week. We consistently say that full-time work is 40 hours a week. That's how much, if you're on salary, that's how much I enter into the payroll thing, that I work 40 hours a week. But we often work more than that, way more than that, maybe even 60 or 80 hours. And I'm often aware that we even require of our medical interns that they work way more than that in residence, and hold it out as a expectation and would be upset if they were to go home after 40 hours of work. The attitude is that we have to work harder and work smarter in order to accomplish stuff. And if you don't get it done, if you're not able to get it all done in that time frame, it's kind of our fault, that we just needed to work harder and smarter. It's really no wonder that all of this spills over into the life of the church and into our spiritual lives, where there's a compulsion to do bigger and better and to accomplish more. And it's easy within the life of the church to shift into doing programs and working to create something for everyone until we all burn out and we're all exhausted. I really think that North Seattle French Church is an oasis from this kind of thinking. And I'm really grateful for North Seattle and what we've learned over the years. We learned a long time ago that the compulsion to run programs and to hold up the structure, the infrastructure of the church, only caused us all to be exhausted and tired, well on the road to burnout. And early on when I first started coming here, I said, you know, maturity in Christ isn't serving on another committee. That there's more to life than simply upholding all the programs, doing all the things we always assumed that we needed to do in order to be an effective church in the world. We learned that we are enough to do everything that God asks us to do. We're not enough to do everything we think we're supposed to do, but we are enough to do everything that God has asked us to do. So we simplified our committee structures way, way, way down and have really administry, which is trustees and elders that combine and work together to help facilitate the work of the church. We've emphasized callings and giftings over programs rather than trying to run lots of programs, that we really want to bless people's callings and giftings and live into the truth of those and walk alongside people as they feel called to new ministries, that we support that and really support it with energy, because it's something that we're called to rather than something that we're supposed to do. So we're a little short on making everybody sign up for the next open position, and long on how is God at work in you, and what are you, how are you called to live that out? And we could go around the room and name the many ways that we're faithfully living that out. So I really feel that we're a calm in the midst of the compulsion that flows all around us, and for that I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for this congregation and your sense of that. Yet I think that we often look around and wonder if we really are enough. Are we sustainable? Can we do this? Have we as a congregation grown too small? Will we make it? Can we hold on long enough to get to a new building and a new location? And will it be any different when we get there? Are we enough? As soon as I say that, I'm reminded of the song that says, "He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to take us into the promised land." That song is based on Deuteronomy 6:23, when the Israelites were in the wilderness wandering around and complaining about being in the wilderness. And God, I think it was better back in Egypt. What are you doing here? Where are we going? And there's this promise, but I haven't seen it. The desert isn't looking like that promised land. What's going on? And so after leaving Egypt, they really began to lose hope and feel like they were stuck forever in the desert. Hence the promise that God would give them the land that he promised to their ancestors. But the truth is that some died in the wilderness and didn't make it. Moses even died. The leader died in the wilderness and didn't make it to the promised land. Will we die too? Will we make it? When I consider all the miracles that God has done for us at North Seattle Friends, I am just amazed at what God has done. And he's been walking alongside us for years. And how can I question that we are enough to go forward when I recognize that God has step by step held us, step by step walked with us, step by step met our financial needs, step by step brought blessings to us that we did not seek, step by step been there leading, walking alongside. And I am just thinking, how can I even question it? And not only that God is walking along us, side us, but think about the biblical story. I mean, the Son of God born as a baby in a manger. That is just like God's upside down ways of doing things, that Jesus would come as a baby in a manger rather than, as scripture says, a king riding on a white horse coming to save the people. And Jesus calls 12 disciples, not the movers and shakers of society, but the willing, 12 people that are willing. In fact, I think it's really interesting, of those 12 disciples, some of them, we don't even hear about them later. They're a part of Jesus' band of disciples that spend time with him, but they fade into obscurity, not because they weren't worthwhile, I don't think, but because their story isn't lifted up like Peter or John or some of the others. Twice Jesus feeds the crowds with what they had, a small bunch of loaves and fish, and feeds thousands of people that are simply gathered by taking what they have, and that is enough. We could go on and name other stories about how God is consistently does a lot with very little. A number of years ago, I hit rock bottom and took a week in the woods to spend time with God. While I was there, I read through the book of Romans in the Message Bible and just kind of seeped myself in that book. And God really met me in that. But I came across in Romans where it talked about Abraham and Sarah. And I really sat with that story. Now, usually when I read the story of Abraham and Sarah and giving birth to Isaac and the miracle that in their old age they gave birth to Isaac, and this was really an answer to God's promise to them that they would have descendants, in fact, many, many, many descendants. And so he was born, and I jumped to that miracle of God can do anything, and he was born. But this time I sat with, what did it feel like to get the promise of many descendants and wait 25 years for the first descendant to be born? What did it feel like? Must have been hard. They must have really wondered if it was ever going to pass. Did they hear right in the first place? What were they supposed to do? And they tried some things like having, maybe it was to have his chief servant be the leader, or maybe it was to have Sarah's handmaiden give birth on their behalf. What were the options? How could they figure out how to do this? Kind of how to jumpstart God's promise. What were they to do? And as I sat with that and really held that in my spirit, I realized that God only asked them to be faithful. God wasn't asking them to do some great thing. They were simply to be faithful, and it was up to God to do the miracle. There wasn't some great activity that they were supposed to have accomplished and done in order for the next step. And I realized that God was saying to us, we simply need to be faithful. And have brought back that message and shared that with you before, that we are called to simply be faithful to God's truth and to God's promise among us. But yet, we look around and wonder, are we enough? Is this all sustainable? Can we really do this? Do we have enough to carry on, to be the people that we sense you've called us to do? What are we to do? I think the first thing that we start with is that we admit the truth. That's always the first place to start. Tell the truth, I think. You know, there is risk in this journey. There's no guarantees. And we acknowledge that. Jesus, we do worry that we're not enough. But we know that the answer is not in fretting or worry. The only thing that we can do is to fall back into the presence of God and hold on. And so we put our trust in God. We fully choose to trust God, and that God will lead us, and that God is enough. We're faithful to what we know to do. We are faithful to follow the nudges as they come, to take the next step, to do that which we know is ours to do. We hold on to the oasis of God's presence in the midst of the world that does life a different way. We hold on tightly to this sense that there is another way, and that we can follow God and that we can trust God and live into the wonder of that. That we continue to be mammon busters, to say there's another way. Not by the get ahead in the world, the method. But there's another way to follow God and to trust God, and it will bust mammon. We stay together. Sometimes when the going gets hard, we're tempted to pull apart, to let go and say, well, I don't want to get caught in the crossfire and step back. And we choose instead to stay together, to be a people, to support each other, to encourage one another. When I get discouraged, that you will encourage me and vice versa. That we can lock arms and hold on and stay together. And we invite others to join this wild ride. That's one of the reasons we're doing this Facebook campaign thing, is just to announce we are Quakers at North Seattle Friends. This is what we're about. This is something that we are doing together. This is an experiment that we were on. And we invite you to join with us. Whether you're here or a long ways away, we invite you to spread goodness in our world and to know that it matters. It mounts up to something, that it is enough. And we stay connected to the divine presence and walk together day by day, step by step, trusting God who is with us, who will lead us, who is faithful. And we choose to believe that just like God fed the crowd with these few loaves and fish, that we're enough to do everything that God is calling us to do. That we can continue to be faithful. And that will be enough to do that which God is calling us to. Let us listen as we wait in open worship, as we invite God to speak directly to us.